We're in the Psycho Circus. Welcome to the show.
What the fuck?
The theme song this week is going to be, we're going to take you through the entirety of the Kiss Psycho Circus CD-ROM.
This dude just swallowed a blunt, motherfucker. And I'm fucking high. Theme song.
Star leaping through the sky like a tiger, defying the laws of gravity. I'm a racing car passing by like Lady Gaga.
And we're back.
Welcome. we are here. I don't pay attention to what you said a minute ago. This is a straight edge recording. I am the against the drug dealer, aka the bartender, and I'm not going to get into those dark deeds.
All right.
So just get that.
I am a vegan, but I do vape indica, sativa, hybrid, whichever way you want to cut it. Cut the weed up, snort it. I got so much green backed up into my brain. It's like Willie Nelson and Snoop Dogg mashup on permanent loop inside my head. Sweet home Alabama. Drop it like it's hot. That guy.
Get him.
I am a Gemini already, so already my frequency's a little iffy. But I'm just trying to get me right now. And so it's radical. It's radical. So I'm just trying to keep on feeling the positive energy, but right now it's trying to get me, so it's all touch and go.
You're so not funny. I thought you said you were going to be funny, and you weren't.
Sad day.
Sad day. It's the death of Sean.
Sad day.
When did I say I was going to be funny?
You implied it.
I've never.
You misled the audience.
I never once.
You misled the fucking audience.
For the record, I've never once said I was a funny person. I never once have said that.
You appeared on a show that was implied to be comedic. You fucking liar.
I got on this show because I was just hanging out talking, and I didn't know it was supposed to be funny on the show. I thought we were just going to talk and be.
Take
whatever.
Your hanging out, take your talking, roll it up into a fucking kitten caboodle, sit on it. Fuck you, hanging out and talking. You lied. You let us down.
Never said I was funny.
You let us down. I wrote a whole diary entry about how you weren't funny. And it's long. And I'll let you read it later. It gets very deep, philosophical,
existential. I already said I was feeling down, and it's literary. Trying to get me. And so it's, I don't feel like you...
I took...
Raining in my...
You know what? All my collegiate literary classes, all the things I learned about semicolons and how to use them and how to be smart on paper went all into my diary about you and how much you suck. So
I already said I was having a tough time. I already said that.
Yeah, well, you're going to have a even worse time when a great author like me writes a long essay about how you're not funny anymore.
I was never funny. I never said I was funny.
Did we already do the theme song?
Yeah, we did it.
Yep.
All right, mid-song.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with...
That song summed up how we are feeling, Sean in particular. And where do we go from here? I don't know.
The song was, How Do You Like Me Now? Is that Trace Adkins? Who was
it wasn't that song.
Is it Toby Keith?
I think the song was, So You Had a Bad Day.
No.
So you had it. Okay.
It was something more emotional than that. Okay. Anyways, it doesn't fucking matter. What are we here to talk about?
None of this matters.
It's been
bare naked. That song.
Bare naked. Anyway.
Bare naked ladies. Where are bare naked men?
Who was it that had a song? Bare naked.
I don't know.
I remember it.
Natalie Imbruglia, maybe.
It sounds like an Imbruglia cut. Anyway, welcome to the show, podcast 308 or something. I don't know which one it is, but this is the podcast, the end-all podcast, the best one to date.
Podcast apocalypse.
Yes, apocalypse. And we are not on our regular set. We had all kinds of stuff ripped up. We got some other equipment, some other new equipment that we're going to be implementing, so it's kind of in disarray.
It's definitely disarray.
Right now. So we are on the set of Shaunanime right now. We got a lot of anime paraphernalia, a lot of animation material, you know. We try to keep all cultures represented.
If you've never seen Shaunanime, pause this podcast right now. Go to our YouTube channel. Look up our show. It's called Funny Factory. Load up the episode of Shaunanime. Watch it. And enjoy it.
See how funny I am.
Did you ever get a chance to talk about Shaunanime on the podcast?
No, I did not.
Oh, yeah, you weren't around.
You weren't around. And we didn't make it, so we had nothing to say. Other than that people liked it. Most people liked it.
Well, this is
Talk about it.
Let me tell you my mindset when making Shaunanime.
Sure, go ahead.
Let me tell you my mindset.
Let's get inside the world of Sean.
I got a lot of emails and tweets throughout the last, I would say, 6 or 7 months saying, like, hey, Shaunanime was on our personal channel. Do that more. We really liked it. But I didn't have the time. I was doing merch and whatever, so I couldn't do it.
Uh-huh.
And so this is opportunity for me to do it. And I thought, like, I don't know if this is for everyone, especially on our main channel. I don't know if this is for the broad audience, but I know that
shouldn't matter. Shouldn't be a factor.
No, but I just, you know, I wanted to make something for the people who subscribe to our Patreon. Like, you know, like I feel like those are the people for the most part who are asking for me to do it again. So I was really happy to have a chance to be able to do it. So, I had a lot of fun doing it. I want to thank you again to Justin for this set. It was all donated by Funimation. That was very nice of them. So,
did you have fun doing it?
Yeah, I had a great time doing it. And I'm looking forward to doing more. I've already gotten a ton of suggestions of what I should do again or for the next episode. And I think that it's going to get better, and I'm really excited about it. Cool. I really like it.
Now, did anybody have anything negative to say about it?
Oh, yeah. But I didn't read the comments, to be real with you.
Good for you.
I watched a Twitch chat.
Yeah.
Everyone was happy on there.
Cool.
Twitter, everyone was happy, and I said, I'm good. And then I didn't look at anything else. I didn't look at the subreddit or the YouTube comments, just because...
Well, I did.
I didn't.
I read them for you.
Oh, no.
It was mostly bullshit.
Were they mad at me?
It was mostly bullshit.
Were they mad at me for doing
it? I don't even think they were mad at you, because it was just mostly bullshit.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, I had fun doing it. So thank you to everyone who watched it. I am trying to figure out a way where I can maybe have it so... Maybe, because people didn't have Netflix, and then they're excluded right off the bat, which I think
would be cool, and I don't, you know, suggestion, take it or leave it.
Yeah, sure.
But maybe every once in a while, just a clip fades up, just as like a check-in of like, you know, this is where we're at.
That's not a bad idea at
all.
Just
fades in and fades out. Yeah, I bet that's doable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's such a quick... I mean, I showed a little bit of the anime before, just so people get, you know, synced. So, yeah, why not do that? Yeah, sure, why not? I like it. Yeah, so, yeah. Cool, maybe I'll do that. But I'm trying to figure out a way, maybe contacting some people where I can just have it. Because on the Twitch, I have two different versions. The Twitch version, it was on there the entire time.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do that on YouTube. But I want to figure out a way maybe I can.
Watch it on Twitch. That.
Yeah.
Watch it on Twitch.
There you go.
That's the better experience if you watch it on Twitch.
Yeah, that'll be Friday. Fridays around 7, we usually air those and stuff. For those people who don't know, we have been debuting new stuff. Typically, every Friday at 7, we've been airing our new shows, and we pop in every now and then with a new video before it's on YouTube and stuff too. We always like to throw some secret special treats onto our channel on Twitch. So twitch.tv/mega64podcast.
Google search mega64tv.
Yeah, or just go to mega64.com. It's right in the middle. So can't miss that.
Yeah. So anyways, that was Shaunanime. So thank you for all those you watched. I had fun. I'll do it again.
You didn't get a chance. You weren't in Chicago.
No, I was not in
Did
Chicago.
Did you watch our Chicago podcast?
I saw one screen cap of Almost Your Ass, and then I decided maybe this wasn't for me, so I didn't watch
it. We were planning on you editing it, but then you didn't, so Rocco got naked for
the
nothing.
Gag was going to be that you would have to see nudity to get through it.
And I have to censor it.
By the time we made it back, there was no time for anybody else. I just did it on my MacBook real fast.
So you had to see
he edited his own ass.
Yeah, you had to see your own butt. Nothing like what you saw?
Nothing I don't see every day.
You look at your own ass in the mirror every day?
Every day. Wow. I got to maintain what's going on.
I don't think I've seen my own ass ever.
Ever? Oh, you're missing out on, like, how can you really... You know, in Fight Club, it's like, you don't know yourself until you fight.
Yeah.
I've
been in a fight.
Yeah, but you never ever seen your own ass. So take a look sometime and, you know.
Take a look.
Do something to that.
Mm. Did you get turned on?
Oh, no, God. Ooh, no. What? But you learn about what's going on externally, what you can do to be better. Like, oh, I need to do some squats.
What's worse? Okay, question. Pop quiz. What's worse? Question.
Yes.
Getting turned on by the sight of your own naked butt,
okay,
or masturbating, which is worse?
What do you mean, masturbating in general?
Yeah.
What's worse?
What's worse?
Yeah,
I guess
because I asked Rocco if he got turned on by his own butt, but he was like, "Oh, like there was something wrong with that." But if you masturbate, you're getting turned on by your own hand.
I'm not. No, I'm not.
To each his own, really, as far as I'm concerned.
You're not answering the question.
I don't factor in my hands at all. You ever heard of a fucking fleshlight?
Nobody here is answering the question.
Come on.
I have heard of it.
Which is worse? Getting turned on by the sight of your own butt or masturbating?
You put a fleshlight between your two mattresses and a picture of fucking Slave Leia, and you don't need to use your hand.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, let me rephrase
the
question.
What are you talking about?
Which would you rather be caught not... Which would you rather less be caught doing? For example, your mom walks into the room.
Okay.
You're either looking at your own butt with a full-on erection.
Oh, God.
But not touching yourself, or not looking at yourself with a full-on erection. Masturbate.
I will tell you what it is. It is getting caught masturbating, and I will tell you why. Because
this should be good.
There's a lot less explaining to do. Like, if you see someone jerking off, it's like, oh, well, I caught him.
That's
in the story.
I disagree.
But if I have a if I'm looking at my butt, if I'm going like this,
I disagree.
In the mirror,
it's like mom walks in.
Why are you doing that? That's not part
mom
of the.
Mom walks
that's what you
in.
Do right.
Mom
that's
walks
what you
in.
Do.
Mom walks in. Catches me masturbating.
Yeah.
That's a long conversation I don't want to have.
What
are you
doing?
You think
it's a conversation
to be
had?
Whoa.
I think it's...
Whatever, it's awkward. Mom walks in. I'm looking at my own butt, and I'm kind of aroused. Mom, I look good. Also, these are your jeans. You look good. You did a good job. End of conversation. Yeah. Way less awkward.
My take on it is... I disagree with Sean, too. I would... Because I'm picturing myself... Like, I'm just doing, like, one of these in the mirror. You know?
With a boner.
Yeah, with a bow.
Yeah, and I feel like if you walk in on that, like you walk, if you walk in on that and see me, you walked in on me, idiot. Knock that.
Same with masturbating. Though.
Masturbating though is the same thing, but
you should have locked.
You're
gonna
see some shit.
You should have locked the door if you're masturbating.
I feel like my butt, and I'm turned on by it. Hey, sorry, this is my space. I do what I want. But masturbate, it's like you might see juices. You might see the process.
What happens?
You know, what do you do when you jerk it? Do you like rub yourself? They might see like,
what?
You know, some people do. I don't know. I ain't judging. He judges. You just saw it, right? I didn't. Anyway, but you might see things you don't want to see. You know, I feel like there's more stuff you don't want to see during that.
Okay.
So I think we got to the bottom of the issue. Podcast question of the week. What's worse? Let's let the public decide. Email podcast@mega64.com. What is worse? Which one?
Masturbating or being turned on by the side of your own butt.
Yeah.
Which would you rather be caught doing?
Yeah.
Let us know.
Yeah.
We had actually a few videos come out this week.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. Just today, we put out our Dead or Alive 3 Extreme Beach Volleyball Sex Strike.
Dead or Alive. It's actually Dead or Alive Extreme 3, DOAX 3. Volleyball isn't in the title.
Docs 3. Are Dead or Alive... Docs. Well, I'm explaining what the game is, not the title.
But, I mean, everyone watching this probably
I don't need nobody to speak for me.
Okay.
Okay. Dead or Alive Volleyball Extreme Titty Edition is not coming out in America. We made a video about it, and it's out right now.
It's out.
And I think that it's wonderful. I think it's a funny video. I'm really proud of it. It's generating a lot of controversy as we speak.
Yeah. Within, as we speak.
Within the video game community. And I always love when we generate controversy because that, to me, says it's a good video. It's a thought-provoking
piece. Yeah, you're getting the conversation going.
It's very thought-provoking.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a thinker.
Not really that much to say about it. We go back out in public. We do kind of a man on the street type of video, which it's been a while since we've done. I think you guys found some choice specimens. On the
oh,
street.
Yeah.
Did you, was there anybody you met on the street that didn't go into the video? Because I wasn't there for the out
yeah.
on the street
Oh,
part.
Yeah.
Yes.
There were several people.
Church groups.
Church groups.
Yeah, really. Yeah. There were people roaming around, like, wanting to talk about the Bible and stuff. So it's like, well, got to talk to them.
Fuck yeah. That.
And, so we walked over to them. We were a little kinder about it when we saw them.
Yeah,
and, you know, that. Just like, hey, can we talk with you on camera a little bit? And it was...
Oh, okay.
It was, no, guys, sorry, God bless. No, we're not going to do it. Okay. You know, it's like, just say no. It's all right.
Yeah. The last interview of the day fell into our lap, and it was the really cool-looking guy that Baka talks to first in the video.
Yeah.
And that guy, man... Couldn't have found a cooler person in the world. Like, that guy was
he walked. He walked down the dock and exuded sex. Like he was walking down the dock. Oh my god!
He was
this guy's a tall stack of flapjacks. We got to talk to him right now.
That's the kind of guy when you're doing a sex strike. That's the guy you need to go on strike.
Yeah,
that's
because
the guy,
if he does it, you win.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's who people want to have sex with.
In regards to things that aren't in the video that you're saying,
yeah.
There's a lot more. We got to put up behind the scenes at some point or something.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more with that guy because I was standing next to him and I just thought this guy is so much hotter than me. So I kept doing things in the conversation like, all right, ladies, he's off the table, but most importantly, I'm off the table.
Right.
I kept making gags that were like, all right.
He kept comparing looks, and Rocco was always the winner.
I was always talking about how, like, all right, you may not be able to do it with him, but you can't with me. Deal with that. Like, you know, different comparison gags. But it felt a little inappropriate for the video, so they're not in there.
Right.
But we'll show it at some point.
Yeah,
that guy,
behind the scenes.
Yeah, that guy was the perfect interview.
Yes.
That guy rules.
Yeah, we got our good buddy Frank to be in the video.
So, yeah, I wanted to just...
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, go.
No, go ahead. Say what.
I was just going to say thank you to Frank. that was it. I was just excited.
Well, then I was going to say thank you to Frank as well. Frank was in town. He was down with... This idea for this video kind of came together on a podcast, kind of like as a one-off joke that Rocco and
was
Frank were hanging out.
Was it our MLK stream?
Yeah,
was it the MLK stream? Yeah, yeah. So back a few weeks back, Frank and Rocco were kind of riffing with this joke, and it stuck with us. And so since Frank was there at the inception of the joke, we thought we'd invite him on to be a part of the video.
Yeah.
Which was great. And I think Frank's hilarious. He did a great job.
Yeah.
Frank was also down here the day before helping me with my latest Funny Factory show, Whip Rip, which went up on Friday, which we'll talk about in a second. But yeah Frank's awesome. What else?
I don't know who sent these, but someone sent Rocco all those posters. What's his name?
I was going to say, actually, I want to give a shout out. Stu. Stuart. I call you Stu, whatever.
Stu Soupy.
Stu in the UK. Months and months ago, there was a UK convention, and Tecmo was there selling tons of stuff from Dead or Alive. I'm a huge Dead or Alive fan. I mean, the video, there's jokes in the video, but I'm going to be real. I'm a huge Dead or Alive fan. I did pre-order the Dead or Alive Extreme 3.
Hell yeah.
There's no joke about that.
No, it's very serious.
But, huge fan of that. Huge fan of, I really like Hyrule Warriors. They developed, Team Ninja developed that game. There's another game they make, whatever. Anyway,
whatever.
But they at this UK convention were selling all kinds of rare merchandise for all those things. There was a Dead or Alive history book, like about the whole game series, and Hyrule Warriors clock and things like that, and I couldn't get it to the UK. So I messaged anybody I knew in the UK, and I posted something about it online, I think. And Stuart in the UK reached out. He's like, hey, I'll get you whatever. What should I get? And I said, get me everything. Just get me everything they have. Okay, great. So he sent me a package, and it had Dead or Alive history book, Hyrule Warriors stuff, and a giant... I mean, probably 12, I don't know how many, of these Dead or Alive posters. They are Dead or Alive posters of the girls in all these different poses. And
very provocative.
And
very provocative.
We tested something when we shot at my house.
Hey, this blew my mind and kind of depressed me a little bit.
Derek, I wish you had been there.
I wasn't there.
I heard something about these posters and we tested it. I'd never tested it and it
was
true.
Could you see through the clothes?
No.
No.
Oh, lame.
The posters, I put them under the faucet and turned it on. They are waterproof.
Waterproof.
Why would they need to be waterproof?
So you can keep them forever.
So you can keep them forever. Yeah. You never know it's going to rain.
Moisture and water damage is the number one thing that destroys books, records, and all memorabilia.
The insurance companies be on your ass about it.
These posters, high quality, will stand the test of time.
You can throw
when all your vinyl records melt and fade away and get moldy, the posters will still
be
there.
You can just like... slap on or, you know, shoot any kind of liquid on there and it'll just be totally fine.
Exactly.
So that's good.
I had never tested it that way. I shouldn't say I've never tested it at all.
Uh-oh.
Because I did have... Because
he did jerk off onto a poster before.
No. All right, next segment.
I did have one of the posters hanging in my bathroom the past few months.
Why?
But because I heard they were waterproof and I hung it up. Boo. So I've had one hung up.
Waterproof poster.
But I was looking for a chance to use the rest of them, and we got it, so I was very happy.
Yeah.
So anyway, so those are in the video. But yeah, again, thank you to Frank, because it really, he incepted the idea. He came over and wanted to do that on a stream. And when it was over, it was just like, we gotta do something more official with that. That was a really great idea. Let's do a video. So shout out to Frank. He really did an awesome job.
Thank you,
but
Frank.
Regarding the controversy you were talking about a second ago, I see a lot with this video and stuff.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know, I see a lot of people like, oh, I didn't know you were on this side. I didn't think you were going to be on that side. You know, and that happens on any video where we tackle a controversial subject.
I think people are always trying to put us on a side,
sure,
though, when they shouldn't think that hard about it.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say was, one, we make fun of anything and everything. Okay. But also, too, I think what we make fun of, and it's an important thing to remember, no matter what the issue is, no matter what side we seem we're on, what we make fun of is extremism. No matter what side it is, we make fun of, hey, here's a thing about a video game that someone made into a life or death scenario. Because that's funny. There were people online talking about we need to start a fucking revolution. I mean, no matter what side of that you're on, it's about a game with these girls playing volleyball. Like, it's hilarious. Like, how can you not? You know what I mean? So, no matter what, that's what we're going after. It's not like we don't have a horse in the fucking race. You know
also
what I mean?
Also,
like,
too, let's be honest. The appeal of this game is scantily clad women. Nobody can just come out and say that. Everybody can joke about it, but nobody will just flat out say...
Yeah.
Sorry, my phone's buzzing. Jesus fucking Christ. Hold on. I know this is unprofessional, but I gotta silence my phone right now. Because my fucking mom keeps texting me.
Mom!
The fudge is done. Eat up. Come on,
bitch. Anyways.
She doesn't watch
Where
the
was
podcast.
I?
No, but you were saying about no one will fess up to why they like it or whatever.
Yeah, nobody can fess up to why they really want... Of all the sports simulation games, this is the one with partially naked girls, and people like to pretend like that's not a factor in why they like the game. We were calling people out on that, too. I feel like that was a big part of the humor, which is what's so funny about Dead or Alive inherently. The people making that game know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to pretend that, like, oh, how did this happen?
Yeah.
No, so, that was orchestrated.
Yeah, so again, my whole thing, I guess, you know, maybe I'm speaking for myself, but my whole thing is extremism. That will always be what's funny. I think there are definitely people that are yelling about fucking censorship. Oh my God, the United States is crumbling. When really, honestly, no one protested this game coming out.
Mm-hmm.
People wrote online, the fucking SJWs protested. Nobody fought this game coming out. The company said it wasn't marketable. They didn't put it out here. You can import it easily. It's in English. So that was happening kind of extremely on that side. But on the other side of it, too, I do see people condemning the game for, oh, my God, this is so offensive. It's fucking, it's a positive game. They're playing fucking volleyball.
It's positive.
It's cheesecake. That can exist. So, you know, both sides can be extreme, and that's what we make fun of.
It's cheesecake.
Linda Cadioti knows. You know, so any side can be extreme. That's what we make fun of. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and for me, it's self-denial. That's the root of the humor that I saw in my eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
What did you think?
Oh, man. I wasn't ready for that.
I love putting Sean on the spot.
Well, you guys just
want
to shut the fuck up. A lot of times I just zone out.
We should do a segment called Sean on the Spot.
I love putting Sean on the spot.
And spot is spelled S-P-A-W-T, like Sean.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Wait, we talk too much?
Yeah. All right, okay. Let's let Sean have
okay.
the floor.
All right, sorry.
We're not going to say anything.
All right, I'm done.
You can talk about whatever you
don't
want.
Do this. This is not what I want. I was honestly thinking, while you were talking about who knows what, I was thinking, like, was my bit not funny earlier? Was Derek right? Was I really dead bomb that first part? And then I was kind of thinking, like, what could I have done that was better? And then I realized, like, that's kind of just all I got going. That's, like, all I had. So I guess it's too late now. And then I thought, maybe I could edit it out. But then I thought, well, that'd be awkward. And then you said, go. And then I was like, oh, fuck. Shit. So anyways, censorship, you know, censor me if you want. I don't care. Government, tell me what I can buy and what I can't buy. I don't care. Thank you for watching. Right. This has been Sean on the Spot.
All right, thanks for that.
I wasn't paying attention to what you said. What?
I hope it was good, because I was out for lunch. No, I was going to say, Sean contributed what may be my favorite thing in the video, because we went out to do Man on the Street stuff, and I had my questions ready that I wanted to ask and all that stuff, and Sean had the best observation about our characters possible, which was, he said, I feel like my character would be as mean as possible on camera to his YouTube audience, but when he had to go outside to talk with real people, he would shut down and not be able to talk. And it was like brilliant.
That's what I said.
That was brilliant observation. And so we went out, and that's what Sean did. He was just, I can't. I thought that was the best part.
Thank you. I was, in the moment, I was like, is this funny? Because I'm like, I try to make it as long and as awkward as possible for the people.
Yeah.
And the way I was dressed, like the lady wouldn't touch the microphone because I was touching it, and I looked so fucked up. It's like, no one had touched me and, like, talked to me. So I thought it was good. So, yeah, I think it turned out really well. I really liked what you added to it, where, like, skip this part. I thought that...
The fake annotations.
I think that definitely enhanced that,
cool.
like, that bit. So,
have you guys awesome. Heard about Bernie Sanders?
Yeah.
I think I felt the burn.
I heard about Bernie Sanders...
This is what I was going to bring up. Did you hear about the bird omen?
The bird omen?
The
I heard
bird
about the bird.
Omen.
I saw the bird.
A bird landed on Bernie Sanders' podium.
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful? It's a sign that he should be president.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
It's a sign that he should be president. I've seen a lot. I like Bernie Sanders. I think he should be president. I've seen a lot of people saying, wow, even nature supports Bernie. Isn't that beautiful? Like, so many people are reading into the symbolism of the bird landing on Bernie Sanders. And I just feel like these are the same people who shit on, like, Republicans being Christian and Ted Cruz, like, being too Christian.
Mm.
Yet they believe that a bird landing on a podium is, like, a magical omen. It was just really funny to me.
I will add to this, too. I also like Bernie Sanders.
Uh-huh.
Dig that whole thing. I will also add to that there are people who I see write on Facebook and stuff like that all the time about, you know, I like Bernie Sanders because I want someone who's sensitive to my needs. We need a more sensitive candidate. Look how, you know, mean and cruel Donald Trump is.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that kind of thing. And that same person will post all these, like, joke articles about, look how greasy Ted Cruz's face is. Look how Donald Trump, how red he is. Look how little his hands are.
Look how fat
and
ugly Ted Cruz
is. Yeah, look at this childhood picture of Ted Cruz, a little fat bitch.
Yeah.
And it's like, what game are we playing?
That's sensitive.
Yeah, so, you know, again, I said it before, but the theme here... extremism.
Yeah.
No matter what side you're on.
And I said it before, self-denial. What did you say?
There you go.
I
Sean on the spot.
I was going to make a point with
do
the
an
bird.
Intro.
that birds are just a symbolic creature, I think. And I feel like,
yeah,
that they took it a little too far, sure. But I do think that birds have always meant something to somebody. Mm-hmm. And so a bird landing on something, I can see like, oh, look at that.
Oh,
I
absolutely.
I think people made too much out of it, of course. But
I think it is
I get why it was symbolic. I saw some poster of just like a bird. And said Bernie Sanders, like whatever, and I was like, that's a pretty looking poster.
Well, that's a
but
gag.
To me, I know people out there who are liberal, Democrat, and anti-Christian, fundamental, anti-religion. Like they shit on that all the time. And yet they talk about how the bird is an omen. And I just feel like,
I get that.
Okay, that's no more crazy or magical than anything the Bible said. The bird's an omen.
Yeah.
It's just funny. It's just a joke. Now, the real
just
issue
a joke.
Here.
Yeah.
The real issue is that Bernie Sanders is going to lose.
Oh, what?
And it's because...
The bird.
No, not has nothing to do with the bird. It's this stupid...
Bye-bye, Bernie.
Feel the burn fucking slogan. So dumb.
You don't like that one?
No. I have a better one. Okay. This is what I want to see. If Bernie Sanders wants to win, this is what you got to do, Bernie. Turn out all the lights in the Democratic Convention. Make the place fucking dark.
Okay.
Get your Metallica CD.
Okay.
Pop it in, dude. Be-do-do-do-do-do. 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 Enter Sandman. Hashtag enter Sandman. Bernie, you're the Sandman.
Come
we can
on.
Have, you could be, just imagine the whole like the whole convention center is blasting exit light. And Bernie Sanders is on the light switch, flipping him up and down like fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Like he's in the classroom when the teacher's not
yeah,
there.
Yeah, strobe light party. Bernie Sanders getting the fucking audience pumped.
Yeah.
Like it's the fucking Matrix rave. Hashtag enter Sandman, Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
What are you waiting for?
And walk on the stage and be like, here's your fucking burn notice. And then play it, turn it up 10 times.
Yeah,
louder.
And then shred it, like light a guitar on fire and shred it. Or get somebody who's good at guitar to do it for you while you're like hanging over behind him being like, yeah! We're up to never, never land! Ooh! And at that part, you take a picture of Hillary and Donald Trump, you stack them together and you rip them up, throw them up into the air.
Yeah.
If you don't do that, you're never going to be president.
Yeah. So
just a thought.
Do it or die trying. Basically, get vote get the votes or die or try dying.
Get votes or die trying. Bernie Sanders should have 50 Cent run as his vice president.
Yeah, VP 50 Cent. He should introduce him like that one Poppin' Bottle song. Here he walks in. He goes, "Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say, I have to say, I'm going to announce this. My running VP, ladies and gentlemen." 50 Cent, it's Friday.
Yeah.
And a thing when you're riding with me, I got a Teflon, a Donna.
You can do that. Or I was going to say, I don't know what you heard about me, but I'm a motherfucking P-R-E-S-I-A-D-E-N-T.
I'm a motherfucking wait, what's vice president? VP?
I'm a motherfucking VP.
Yeah.
VPP, vice president, president.
Internationally known and locally respected. And I, the government, and the people elected.
Sean,
I'm not sure you got the intro to Enter Sandman right.
Yep.
I feel like that was wrong.
We listened to the live album.
I think it's dum da 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 dum da dum da da.
You guys are doing the exact same thing.
You changed it.
Go
back, look at it. I don't think you got it right.
I kept on singing the same riff.
I think you got it right.
And you joined with me.
Bum 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 bum
bum bum bum bum bum bum bum. If Bernie, loses.
Anyways,
boom, 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 boom. Then the drums come in. Greatest drummer of all time, Lars Ulrich.
Lars Ulrich,
fucking slapping the skins on the drums. Doom, 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 doom. You can't get this on fucking Napster. Doom, 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 doom. Bernie Sanders is gonna win.
If he loses, though, if Bernie loses, he should play that one Metallica song about the guy with no eyes or ears or arms or legs. And he, you did not vote. I did not win. And just like he's helpless.
Okay.
Because what can he do? He can't vote a million times. Be cool if you could, though. If it could be cool if you would vote.
Yeah.
If you could vote more than once.
And Hillary, fucking Hillary.
Yeah.
I know she's gonna rip this idea off. She's gonna fuck it up.
I'm over the
it's
Hillary.
It's gonna be Master of puppets or whatever.
How's yeah. feeling, Rocco?
Obey your master.
Queen's right, because I'm the queen.
Queen's right.
Hillary.
Queen's right, because the queen's what Reich. And she'll play, what do they do? Dream Theater, whatever. Fuck you.
I can see Hillary now at the inauguration grabbing the mic, screaming, obey your master. Metallica,
yeah.
The row of crosses lined up behind her. Fuck. So predictable.
Exactly. She's going to slap. She's going to slap Bernie on the face. She's going to walk on stage, slap him in the face. He's going to hit back because it's self-defense. And then he's going to go, ooh, how could she slap? And then she's going to go, exactly. And the band's going to come in. How can she slap her, you bastard?
I think we just called the election.
Yep.
So we just predicted it.
Who won? I don't know who won. I don't know what you just said.
Jill Stein of the Green Party.
Yeah, Jill Stein.
Oh, okay.
Jill Stein of the
Green Party. Win Jill Stein's money.
She's great.
If you elect her. Anyway, that's the political segment of today.
Yeah, just do that in
today's
the middle.
Today's show.
Too.
We're kind of like Johnny Oliver or Tommy Oliver or whatever his name
I'm
is.
I'm kind of like JonTron, but I talk about politics.
Yeah, it's like Electron.
I'm like
microscope. That's how we look at the issues this close.
I'm
thinking a new Funny Factory show.
New Electron. Funny Factory show.
All right, speaking of Funny Factory, yeah. I just put out my episode of Funny Factory. Web rip. I hope you liked it. It went up.
It did go up.
It
That's
did go
true.
Up. It did go up. Has a couple thousand views now.
That's good.
I'm really happy, actually. I'm really proud of myself. I'm proud of the show that I made. I'm happy with Funny Factory. There is an abnormal amount of negativity in the YouTube comments about Funny Factory. There was a lot of stuff in the comments of WebRip that I felt like was a little bit misdirected. It was about Funny Factory, not necessarily about my show.
Sure.
Some people liked it. Some people didn't like it. I don't know what else there is to say about it. To the people who liked WebRip, I want to say thank you. I did see a lot of positive comments, but they were pretty short. They were just comments like, hey, I like the show. Hey, it was a really good show. Hey, I really enjoyed watching this. I'm going to tune in again. That was great. That made me feel so good. The negative comments were very long-winded. Long-winded diatribes, philosophical deconstructions of the nature of humor on the internet. Stuff that I felt was like really pent up for a long time in people was coming out. I didn't quite understand where all that was coming from. To those people, I hope you get the medical and mental help that you are seeking. And I hope that you are relieved of the anxiety that was brought to you by my show. But I enjoyed doing it. I know you guys probably don't have very much to say about it because you weren't on the show. Frank helped me out.
Yeah.
He was my special guest. So thank you to Frank. There will be more WebRip coming your way next month. I had a lot of fun doing it. It's funny because a lot of people asked me to bring back POS TV for Funny Factory and kind of do POS TV again, which is a show that I used to do. A lot of people out there actually never saw POS TV, I realize. Yeah. That was a show I used to do, and I would just throw it up on Twitch every once in a while. And it's funny because that was universally praised. When I would do POS TV, people would love it. They would eat it up, and they would always ask for more. And I feel like I kind of did more POS TV. With WebRip, I took the idea of POS TV, and I kind of put it into a new, better format, if you ask me. And then it was literally the same thing, just watching a long-form video. In this case, we were doing YouTube videos instead of really shitty VHS tapes found in a thrift store. And just kind of hanging out and watching and kind of passing the time along. And kind of what I always said about POS TV, too, was, you know, when I was a kid, me and my friends would watch Mystery Science Theater 3000, and we would love it. And that was like 90 minutes to 2 hours of a bad movie. A lot of it was unenjoyable, but the comments and the people just hanging out on TV, but also with your friends, made it fun to watch. But in addition to that, we would watch like Spanish language television. We had no idea what people were saying, and everything on Spanish TV is so behind America. It's awful. And we would just kind of watch that, make up stories about what the people were doing.
Yeah.
laugh at stuff that was going on, make up jokes that was going along. And even now as adults, when we go to Rasputin and we go to go to San Francisco, we get a bunch of shitty DVDs. We watch them. They're awful. But we are just hanging out talking about them, and it passes the time. And I felt like that's what I was doing with WebRip. And maybe a lot of people just didn't get that and didn't know what to expect, because there were a lot of...
expectation is a bitch.
There was a lot of negativity about my show WebRip 2 minutes into a 20-minute show. And I feel like, okay, at that point you have not given it a chance. And also, there were a lot of comments about, wow, Derek, you're not funny and you're not creative. Which kind of bummed me out, because I've been doing Mega 64 for 13 years. So I think I've proven myself. To say, I think that I am funny and I am creative. I think one web series episode doesn't negate all the work that I've done for past decade plus.
Did for a lot of people, though, man.
I guess so, yeah. Some people regard one additional video uploaded to our channel every week as the death of our YouTube channel, which is mind-boggling to me.
I do think a lot of people, not to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
But I was going to say, it is important to see it from our side too. Like, I really don't and have not ever been bothered by any of the comments on any of the Funny Factory shows being, I didn't like this, because I can't make you like something. Like, I've been doing shit long enough on the internet. I don't like this. It really, that's bound to happen. Mm-hmm. But the amount of emails we've gotten that are, again, the theme of today is extremism. I've gotten so many emails about my career being over. Like, I did my one thing where I showed toys, and it was like, wow, an unboxing video. Don't think you'll be around much longer. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. It is kind of, I really don't, I hope it's not coming off like we're just bitching and complaining nonstop about reaction and things like that, because I really don't want it to be like that. But man, the amount of things that I've gotten in my inbox about, well, it looks like you're done, and it looks like you're all Mega 64 is over. Wow, you know, it's like, I'm sorry. It's been like an arrow in the heart, and we're just trying our best.
Well, here's.
I'm not even that worried about it. What are you gonna say?
Well, what I'm gonna say is that we've said this from the start, that this is an extra thing.
Yeah,
and
yeah, absolutely.
I feel like people who write that, it's like, They think that we took all the money that goes from Patreon and put it 100% into Funny Factory.
Yeah.
And we, you know, have got better equipment, and we hired Kevin, and we are able to do way more things.
Yeah. I think people are acting like Funny Factory was a crowdsourced show and that they funded the show, and they're disappointed, when it was never Funny Factory. Yeah. We never asked for your support so that we could make Funny Factory.
That was an
extra bonus.
It was you guys supported us, and so because we felt so grateful to have your support, we wanted to put out more content than we were already putting out.
Yeah.
So we continue to do what we're already doing, and then we add additional videos. And that's why I keep saying one extra video per week heralds the end of Mega 64. In some people's minds, and I just don't understand that mentality.
But I will say too, you know, this whole thing with Patreon and all this stuff is a brand new thing for us. And, I mean, it was completely alien to me. I mean, just everything about it. So, I mean, I think maybe we could have been a lot more clear about that, you know, exactly what we just said, that it is just an extra thing. And I saw somebody in one of the comments was like, you should have given this a title rather than Funny Factory, given it a title that conveyed a bonus thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great idea. And you know, but I didn't know it was going to be like this, you know. So, again, it's all new to us. So
There was a ton of positivity, and I was actually super relieved to see the amount of positivity for it. Yeah. But like I said earlier, those people, they're cool. And it's just like, hey, good job. Keep going. That gets buried under, like, walls of text.
Yeah.
And there really is, like, so much talking in some of these. Just, like, people have a lot to say. So I just feel like we need to respond to that.
Yeah.
Again, I didn't read the comments on Shauna May. Very positive over here. So I
nice.
As far as I'm concerned, every single person loved it, and the downvotes on that video were just an accident.
There's people out there who did appreciate it. I'm so happy that there are people out there that appreciate the shows we're making. It's not for everybody. It's for a niche audience. They were the first episode, so I think they will get better. But I just wanted to, you know, kind of explain where I was coming from. Where I like to watch shitty YouTube videos. I don't like to watch viral videos or meme videos. I like to watch the shit that people upload.
The stuff that we have favored for years.
The stuff people upload that they don't expect anybody to ever see, I see it. Some of the videos I was showing on WebRip had less than 50 views, which they're undiscovered videos. Nobody will ever see them ever again. They're horrible. They're hard to watch. That's my bread and butter, and I just like making fun of it. So I think of it as like Beavis and Butthead or Mystery Science Theater 3000. It is long and shitty videos. We're not, you know, saying the funniest stuff ever, but we're just kind of hanging out, watching it, enjoying it. That's what you have to look forward to on my next episode. But, yeah, I think that it's going to find an audience, and it'll be really successful when it's all said and done.
I can speak for just, again, speaking for myself. The next episode of my Blind Box show is going to be so much fucking better than that last one.
Were you disappointed with your last one?
No, I mean, yeah, creatively, yeah. I just didn't, you know, I was discovering it as I went along. So I guarantee you, yeah, the next one will be a lot better.
Yeah, my episode of WebRip, I was thinking about it, planning it for a long time, but when it came down to making it, I really, like, did not have any time. We were in San Francisco for a week, and then we flew to Chicago for the rest of the week, and then we came off the plane for Chicago, and that night I was up till 3 in the morning looking for YouTube videos, editing all the source videos together. Then I came here the next day. I was building the set. We had to go to Los Angeles for some meetings. Yeah. So in between going all over the country, I was putting WebRip together. So just in the sense of that, that's, I think, why I was so proud of it. Just that, damn, the show actually got made. From this point out, it can only go onward and upward.
Yeah.
So, and there was a lot of positivity and, well, that is really spurring me on to just, I just want to keep making the show. Honestly, I want to do WebRip every week. I know we only promised, you know, every week would be a different person, but I had so much fun doing it. I would like to do it every week, but I'm going to hold back. I'm going to do it once every 4 weeks, and I'm going to have fun.
Yeah. I think I'm really excited. Everything's been said. There's been ups and downs with this, and I think we've all learned some things, but I am excited about continuing to do this. And I am excited about the Patreon, and I am excited that, you know, we're able to make more content. That's what I've always wanted to do. So I'm stoked. Posy vibes. That's it from me, guys. That's what I had to say about this. Vote Bernie Sanders.
Enter Sandman.
Let's talk about more important things now. Did anybody play anything? Anybody play a video game?
I bought the Uncharted Collection on the PS4.
So you never played any of those, right?
Never played any of them. Have not played it yet.
Welcome to Uncharted.
But I bought it, and I am very excited to play it. So coming up, guys, get ready. I will see how right or wrong Eric Bedore was when it comes to that train
Jesus
scene.
Jesus Christ.
And we can get that again. So get ready.
He's the only person I've ever heard mention that, and then he's super passionate about it. So,
Eric's very passionate about a lot of things.
Well, surprisingly, he's passionate about things that nobody else on Earth is passionate about. There are many things.
But that's why we love him.
He's the only one.
That's why I love you, Eric.
Like Morocco Mole. He's passionate about Morocco Mole. Nobody else gives a fuck about Morocco Mole.
I disagree, but okay.
I've been playing Wolfenstein New Order, Wolfenstein The New Order. It came out last year, I think, maybe 2 years ago.
I think two.
Yeah, it's a little bit of an older game. It's only $15 now. It's on sale when you buy it at the store. It's pretty cheap. I'm enjoying it. It's made by Bethesda. It is a first-person shooter. It's a good first-person shooter. It's over the fucking top.
Yeah, that's the whole point, right? Is that kind of the thing of it?
Kind of. It is. I know I'm going to sound not cool, and I hate that. I want to be cool. I do want to be cool.
Trying.
I'm trying to be cool, but I'm going to say something that is so uncool. This game is super violent. It's one of the bloodiest games I've ever played. The main character has blood on his hands in every cutscene because he's just, like, gouged somebody's eyes out or ripped their throat open. Or at one point,
spoiler alert, this is a little early on in the game. At one point, you capture a Nazi and you have him captive in, like, the basement of a house. And it's an interrogation scene where you pick up a chainsaw and you're, like, scaring him. And he breaks out of his things and he like, attacks you and you have to, like, get into a fist fight with him. And that's kind of the level. But then it cuts back to a cut scene where it's like, aha, I got you back in the chair, you fuck. And then I start revving up the chainsaw and it's like, yeah, back to hacking you up like I was just going to do. And then it kind of fades away. Like, this was so interesting to me. The cutscene fades away. It doesn't show you brutally hacking up this Nazi because I didn't understand why it didn't show me that. It was like, yeah, I guess to show the main character just brutally murdering somebody while they're tied to a chair would make me feel like this guy was less heroic. But yet, that's what he did, and I'm still this character. It was just, it's hyper-violent to the point where I kind of, I don't even know where the moral barometer stands at this point. Maybe that's cool. So yeah, I'm about 2 or 3 hours into the game. I'm going to keep playing it because I am actually enjoying it.
Yeah.
But it's just hard not to notice, like, how bloody it is.
It's why game. I was not really into, like, Mortal Kombat, like, the new Mortal Kombat and things like that. I'm just over that kind of stuff, but at the same time, it won't deter me from playing it. You know, if I hear a game's really good, but it's violent.
You know what? The violence puts it into a point of almost playing like a horror movie.
Yeah.
And there are moments in the game, like cutscene moments, where like I'm held captive and two of my friends are with me, and I have to pick one to die and one to live. And it's like, yeah, this is kind of interesting stuff to play with a video game. But when it's all said and done, pretty much the only thing you can comment on is, yeah, that's a fucking crazy game, man. It's a lot of people getting fucking fucked up. So there you go.
Yeah, my brother really enjoyed that game. I think he played there was like a big DLC thing for it too or something.
Okay, now I will say, I'm going to spoil a little bit of the story of Wolfenstein. If you haven't played it and you want to experience the story, I will wave my arms when the spoiler's over, so silence the podcast now. The game starts in World War II, 1945, whatever, and pretty early on in the game, you get shot, and you're, like, taken out, and you go to a hospital, and you kind of recover, and then it picks up in that hospital when you recover.
Yeah.
A couple hours in the game, you realize that while you were shot and in that hospital, you were actually in a coma for 15 years.
Whoa.
It's 1960 and the Nazis won World War II.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
So it's like it's a post-World War world in which the Nazis have taken control. So you're even though you're an American, you're a resistance fighter and you have to, like, you know, go against the authority. That's why it's the New Order. Now it really does have this interesting kind of like alternate history sci-fi aspect to it, which is really cool. And I didn't know that. They don't really explain. There's no way to know that until you play the game. And I found that really fascinating. So, story-wise, it is cool. There's a lot to enjoy there.
Yeah.
And I'm playing Wolfenstein The New Order.
Wave your arms so they know. There you go.
And we're back.
No more Wolfenstein. I have been playing. It came out on 3DS this week. This last Friday. Hyrule Warriors. Zelda Hyrule Warriors. It originally came out on the Wii U like a year ago. Now it's on the 3DS. It's mostly the same game, but with some new stuff added to it. And I have to say, I dug this game before. I like it better on 3DS. Now, visually, presentation-wise, graphics-wise, if you want to play the best-looking version of the game, you play it on Wii U. Okay. But I like it better on 3DS for the sake of portability. It's one of those games, when I'm at home, I want to play, like, when I have time at home to play a video game, I want to play an engaging experience, a deep experience, you know, whether it be a really robust RPG or some kind of, you know, something like Uncharted where it's real big and theatrical. That's what I want to play when I'm at home. If it's a simple kind of, you know, it's just hack and slash, whatever, I'd rather just play it on a portable. I don't have to make time at home to play that. I can play it while we're on the way to something or around the office. That's more convenient for me. And Zelda Hyrule Warriors is one of those games where it is hack and slash. It's little missions. Hey, go beat up this guy. Okay. You did it. Great. I can close the 3DS. You know, like, it's simpler. Now, graphically and all that stuff, it looks a little weak on 3DS, because there's millions of soldiers, so I don't think they can keep that up on a portable system, but it's functional. Now, from what I understand, I've been playing it on a new 3DS. It works great on there. The camera control with the little nub and all that stuff works perfect. From what I understand, this game is not playable, hardly at all, on a regular 3DS. Like, the frame rate is fucking dropping, and you don't have the camera control like that. Oh, wow, so that does suck. If you have a regular 3DS, I wouldn't touch it. But on the new one, I'm having a good time. I got Linkle. I unlocked Linkle.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, I got Linkle. She's got, like, dual-wielding crossbow guns. It, like, becomes fucking Halo for a second. You're doing a special move. She's, like, going, buh, 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 like, John Woo shit, like, buh, 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 to all these goblins. So, Linkle, shout out. You hot.
Well, you're hot. Okay.
Can I say that?
Yeah, I'll allow it.
Okay.
Is that all for video games?
Pretty much. I think that's it. I kept meaning to play. I guess there's some new Battlefront stuff out. I haven't tried that. Oh, yeah. I did reserve PSVR.
Oh, wow.
I actually reserved the whole bundle. I don't think I need that. So tomorrow morning, the morning of actually you're watching this, I'm going to try to get the one that doesn't have any of that bullshit. Just the headset.
You know,
so I'm gonna try.
New Batman Superman movie came out. I haven't seen
it. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I kind of want to see it. I know. Here's the thing. I think I'm gonna hate it. But I don't. I think just
most
wanna,
of America did.
I don't just want to talk shit on a movie
yeah.
that I've never seen, like I've done for the past 10 years for every superhero movie that comes out. I think I might actually see this one. I do like Batman. What I have been hearing, I've heard this a lot. Critics hate the movie. Fans love it. A lot of people hate it. But the people who do like it are saying, they're defending their love of the movie by saying, well, if you're a fan, it'll speak to you. And I'm a fan of Batman. I'm a fan of DC stuff. So I want to check it out.
Yep.
I want to check it out. Hopefully next week I'll have my review. I don't know if I'll get a chance to see it. But I will say, speaking of Batman, I actually picked up a new comic this week. I got the first issue of Dark Knight 3, The Master Race. This is a sequel to Dark Knight Returns and Dark Knight Strikes Again, which are two Batman comics, story arcs that are really highly regarded as some of the best Batman stories out there. They were written by Frank Miller. This one is overseen by Frank Miller, and it's a sequel to those two. It's really cool. I've only read the first issue. I want to get my hands on the other two that are out right now. It's kind of like... So do you know the story of Batman Strikes Again, Dark Knight Strikes Again,
I think
Dark
so.
Knight Returns?
Yeah.
Basically, in 1986, Frank Miller wrote this story about, like, what if Batman was too old to be Batman anymore?
Yeah.
Say he's in his 50s or something, so he retires. But realizes that without Batman, like, the city is just going to fall into crime. Like, he has to be Batman. So even though he's too old to do this, he comes out of retirement, and it's like him as an old man dealing with, you know, I'm too old to do this. If I stop, this crime's going to go on. What's the point of me even doing this? It's really cool. And then he retires again. There's a sequel where he comes back. He has to do the same thing again, but this time, kind of like the president, you know, the authority is like, Batman, you're a vigilante. Like, we can't have you doing this. We don't need you. So they hire Superman. They ask Superman to go stop him. Like, stop Batman from doing this. He's fucking old. You need to stop him. And it's kind of like Superman and Batman battle. Yeah. And I think that's what the new movie kind of draws from. And I'm not going to say how that one ends. But the third one, you know, so Batman, they all end with Batman going away and coming back, going away, coming back. The third one, he comes back now. And it's really interesting because in this one, I think it's a sign of the times. And maybe this isn't going to be what the whole story is about. But in the first issue, it's like Batman versus the police. It's police are... They've gone power crazy, you know. It almost, honestly, it reminds me of, like, Black Lives Matters movement and everything that's been happening lately in American culture of just, like, the cops overstepping their bounds.
Yeah.
It's like the police are chasing people. Oh, stop, stop! They're drawing guns on them. And then Batman, like, intervenes and starts, like, fucking fighting the cops.
Yeah, sure.
Almost defending the criminals. It's a really interesting new take on Batman. I'm enjoying it so far, and...
And that's it. So I'm reading DK3, The Master Race. I just finished the first issue, and I'm going to check out the rest.
I was going to say two things about it real quick. The you know, because I feel like anytime we bring up a comic book movie, we rag on it or whatever. This is too easy a target. But there were a couple things that I wanted to say about it. One, no, a lot of people I know and trust about movies, they didn't like the movie, but they liked Ben Affleck. And they said, you know, is he still going to make his Batman movie that he talked about? And I just want to say, no matter what this movie does or is or whatever, they should let him make that. Like, him just being on his own, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with it. I don't need the Justice League shit. But Batman is still an inherently interesting character, less so a superhero. And Ben Affleck has won Oscars for writing. He won Best Picture. He can make a movie. Just I would just let him do it. I would still, no matter all this stuff and all this stuff I always rag on, I would give that a shot. I would check it out. Anyway, whatever. That's my opinion. But I do want to see it too. I agree.
Ooh, we should go together.
For this reason. I've been told, people at home have seen it, I haven't. I've been told by countless people that our version of Batman in our video, The New Batman, is alive and well in this film. That you see him doing many of the things that we joked about in this gag video we did over a year or two, however long ago. The things I've heard, and I won't repeat them because they're spoilers, but the amount of things I've heard, I was staggered.
Well, so, I haven't heard, but I can only assume that's shooting people with guns, wanton disregard.
I mean, you could write, the whole video.
Yeah.
Parents are annoying and alive.
Parents are alive.
So, I think I'm going to maybe investigate this. If I have some time, I might want to see
it. You know what? That's so funny because the whole concept of our Batman video was this mentality of like, ooh, old stuff is boring. I've seen all the boring stuff before. Let's be new. Let's be edgy. And just seeking that line of thought, let's be new, let's be edgy, we totally shit on everything Batman once stood for. Where we take everything you know about the character, if it's this, we do the exact opposite, and now Batman is new, therefore better.
Yeah.
If that's the
self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. Self-fulfilling prophecy. I would love to see if that is actually the case.
And I'm assuming, again, I will say I haven't seen it. I'm assuming he kills people. I'm assuming Batman kills a lot of people because one thing I will say, I have seen Zack Snyder countless times saying, Batman can kill people. What's wrong? Batman can kill people. And his defense was, I think it was something along the lines of, if Darth Vader can kill a billion people in a movie, why can't Batman?
Because Darth Vader's the villain.
Which I thought, well, crazy space villain that everyone is out to kill.
What?
That's different, but.
What?
Man. I haven't seen the movie.
Zack Snyder doesn't get the value of life.
Wait.
The value of a life.
You can't compare Batman and Darth Vader.
I think actually it might have been that it might have been that he compared Superman.
Superman.
Like, because Superman kills a lot of people in his wake, like, you know, all his battles and stuff. And I think he compared it to that.
Superman.
You still can't compare those two people.
No, Superman, Darth Vader, same guy.
That's the. Superheroes would be no better than the criminals if they just killed them.
Whatever. We'll see it and get back to you.
Yeah, we'll have to.
We're going to figure this out.
Well, thank you for watching, everyone.
All right, it's over.
I think we're like an hour and a half right now.
Are we?
I think it's like super fucking long. So let's end this shit. Okay. Fuck you guys.
It felt like 10
them,
minutes.
Not you.
Well,
guys.
You know what?
Never you guys.
If you didn't,
do you have a count, Kevin? Do you have a count?
On your rant,
like a little over an hour just now.
Oh, no. That
Kevin's,
is not
Kevin's
90 minutes.
Kevin's fucking with you.
And honestly, you know what? Sean on the spot went pretty long.
We gotta fire Kevin.
Sean on the spot was like a
cut out. Sean on the spot.
Yeah,
I didn't want to do Sean on the spot. For the record,
what did you want to do?
Then you should have said.
Yo, real quick, I just want to say, gooddrinkkickapoo.com for the best soda in the world. You can get them on Amazon. You can follow them on Twitter. But most importantly, first thing is drink the drink. Delicious.
Sean on the spot should have been no.
Yeah.
No.
Duh.
One word. Do you know how Planet of the Apes began? Someone beat an animal and they replied to their master, no.
Oh, hey, can I say, I have been thrilled by all the fan art about new Sean coming through lately.
Yeah.
Hey, big up to all of our artists
friends out there, all the stuff for New Sean has been wonderful. I think New Sean has got to make some more appearances.
What is New Sean?
What is he?
I'm not aware of that.
Well, I say we just end the show on what the people want to see.
Yeah.
Okay, we're done. Yeah. All right, ready? Here, no. Come with us.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Oh, no! Fuck!
Sorry.